Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, baseball with a nice start to conference play. Football beginning spring practice this week. Track and field adding another All-American to the list. But we're going to start with basketball. Both the women and the men headed to the postseason this week. First time that's happened since 1999. Back then, it was the men going to the NCAA and the women going to the WNIT, but it's flip-flop this year. And we're going to start with the women today because the Sun Belt Tournament champs now know where they're headed for their first ever trip to the NCAA tournament. They are the 15 seed. They're a 15 seed. Yep. I say the 15 seed, but they're a 15 seed. And they'll take on two seed UConn Saturday at noon in Storrs, Connecticut, a game that, of course, will be broadcast on the Ticket Radio Network, but also nationally on ABC Saturday at noon.
Again, I go back real quick, and the question we asked Dez at the end of the podcast last week was, you know, if we'd gone back to you this time a year ago and you had three players and said, you know, this is where it's going to be. But now you say, if we go back to you a year ago, you had three players, and we said a year from now, you're going to be 35 years old, getting ready to coach against Geno Auriemma in the NCAA tournament. And, oh, by the way, it's going to be the program's first ever game on an over-the-air network on ABC.
Her answer was,
you're out your mind.
You're out of your mind. That's what she said last week, and we didn't even have the UConn part added on to that. But it was such a cool scene. What a great crowd we had Sunday night at the Woodard McAllister Club area. To be out there and to have, I don't know, over 200 people in that room, jam-packed, really, really cool, just the anticipation. And the anticipation just kept on building. Because as anybody who watched that show knows, we had to wait till the very end, the last region, the last page of the last region.
It ended up being probably the next to last game announced in the entire tournament.
I think we were all realistic. We're looking anytime a 13, 14, or a 15 seed came up. Okay, is this going to be the one? I thought when they showed TCU as a 2 seed, maybe that was where we'd be headed. Yep. Every time, you know, one of those slots was about to come up and it didn't say Arkansas State, everybody was like, oh. And I remember a couple of people turning around saying, we are in the tournament, right?
I mean, honestly, those kids are so funny on our team. I think they were getting so antsy. I mean, at this point, I think if they would have just said our name as a 16 in a play-in game, they would have been okay. They just wanted to hear them hurry up and say Arkansas State. I was like, you know, there are a couple of spots we don't want them to say our name in, you know, as the anticipation grew. But and then you get down to that last slide. And what's funny is you get that last handful of games, you still had Oklahoma in play too, right? And some of the bracketology it has going as a 14 to play in Norman against Oklahoma. So
thought that might be
so
the
sure
one.
Sure enough, they pop up, the 3 seed, the Oklahoma Sooners. So like everybody, oh, this is it right here. You know, and everybody's got their phones out and sitting. They'll be taking on the 14 whoever. I don't remember because it wasn't Arkansas State. And at that point, as soon as he didn't say Arkansas State right then, I'm standing there thinking, holy crap, we're going to play UConn.
So you had already thought about the higher seeds that had not been called because I wasn't putting together the whole UConn thing until they put 2-seed UConn up at the end. That's when it hit me. I'm like, oh my God, our girls are about to go play Geno Auriemma and the greatest women's basketball program there's ever been, right up there with Tennessee and Pat Summitt.
Right.
But that's going to be their first ever game in the NCAA
tournament.
Number
one pick in the WNBA draft.
Paige Beckers.
So, yeah, it was, and they loved it. I mean, I honestly, there's not a team I'd rather have in that spot than this bunch right here.
And I love
they
the fact that Destiny Rogers hopped right back on the mic as soon as it ended, and she said, "We're not backing down. Nope. We're ready to go." And you'd expect nothing less.
No, I mean, absolute substandard. I mean, this is the – there's no bunch of kids and coaches I'd rather have in this spot where, like, it's – by last night, you know, it's already scrolling across the bottom of the screen. UConn, greater than 99% chance to win, according to ESPN, you know, matchup predictor. Is that good?
Well, we heard the story last week.
They just don't care.
With Dez in here and how they put 12% at the bottom of the board – Winter Rogers wrote that at the bottom of the board before the Sun Belt Championship game. I'm guessing we're going to have a 1% at the bottom of the board coming up on Saturday.
But it was cool. Hey, great scene. Thanks to the fans that came out. And I'll tell you this, too, and I'll tell them this privately also, but I want to say it publicly. You know, one of the cool things ESPN did is set up a live feed with pretty much every watch party in the country. So let's say they had 68 watch parties that they took a live look at last night. And I don't know that it was 68 for 68, but let's say it was. I'd be willing to bet the other 67 schools and the other 67 watch parties didn't have the head football coach there, and the majority of not all the football staff. And I know that's not lost on Des and her crew, but that's really cool that, you know, not just Coach Jones, but, I mean, the biggest chunk of the football staff were up there cheering on the A-State women last night. And it got kind of commonplace down the stretch to look down to my right and see him sitting at the table watching his team play. He even made the mistake of coming over for a minute during the Screaming Kid Day game, and I don't think he knew what he had signed up for. So, yeah, he's kind of been on board with this team for a little while, and it was neat to see him supporting them when they found out their dancing destination.
So good for the women. Obviously, it's going to be a thrilling week for them, just going to the NCAA tournament, playing a historic program like UConn. And again, they'll play Saturday at noon. About an hour after we found out where the women were headed, you and I are sitting over with our families at J-Town's.
Yep.
And we knew the NIT bracket was coming out around 8:30. So we're both watching our phones at the same time, and we find out, along with everybody else, that not only are the A-State men headed to the NIT for the first time since 1991, but they're hosting a game in the NIT. A really big deal, and certainly well-deserved after winning a share of the Sun Belt regular season championship and Coach Hodson's team setting a school record with 24 wins. They can add on to that total now, but this is back-to-back postseason appearances for the Red Wolves. Of course, the CBI last year, now the NIT, but first time that's happened, back-to-back postseason appearances in 36 years. So this is a really big deal. Seventh postseason trip overall, fifth to the NIT. When they announced this with the NIT, it's the first tournament to get going after Selection Sunday. We find out, yes, we're hosting, but the game is on Tuesday night, the day that this podcast is coming out. So you and I are sitting there, and as soon as we get our check and dinner's over, I know you're headed back to the office with everybody else that's trying to plan a basketball game.
Yeah.
Kind of take us through the steps there.
It's interesting. Yeah, we got back right after it Sunday night. Like I said, you had 48 hours, a little less than, but close enough to pull this thing off. And so you got to just sort of jump in. You got to start having your tickets ready to go. And, you know, we all had this manual from the NIT, and you start looking at it. And really and truly, and I think people, if you're listening to this before the game, you'll see this when you get in there Tuesday night, is that in the tournament's view, like, First National Bank Arena is hosting an NIT first-round game. And it just so happens Arkansas State's playing in it. There'll be an awful lot of ways this doesn't look like an A-State home game. It won't have all the same stuff the rest of our home games have had. And so I think people will be a little surprised to see maybe how different it looks when they get in there. But we're still excited to be there. And I know people jumped on early buying their tickets. I'll answer the questions here just because they've been asked a lot. All the seats. And when I say all, I'm everything except for courtside and the suites. So basically the arena seats, lower level and upper level, everything is going to be general admission Tuesday night.
So first come, first serve.
With the exception of there's a few seats that we have to hold for St. Louis behind their bench. And then we will still hold sections B, C, and D for students. Rest of the lower level sides, it is going to be general admission. First come, first serve. And doors, you know, typically where they open an hour before the game, they're going to open 90 minutes early. So doors will open at 6:30 Tuesday night. Once you get in there, it's general admission seating.
$25 for adults, $15 for kids.
Yeah. Okay. Young kids, I mean, two and under don't have to have a ticket if they're sitting in the lap. And that also includes, that's the same price point for A-State students. Another question that was inevitably coming is that we're not allowed to comp anybody's ticket, period. But that includes Arkansas State students. We do have some great donors and some businesses around who are doing some things to kind of get us in a situation to make where we've got a good student section in there. But we weren't allowed to just say, hey, students, you get in free. It's not our event. It's the NIT's event. We're running for them.
They set the pricing on this.
Right, yeah.
So this isn't Arkansas State saying, hey, this is what we're going to charge to try to cover this event. The NIT sets the prices for these tickets.
Correct.
It's for the game itself. A-State's taking on St. Louis, a team from the Atlantic 10 that's won 19 games this year. It'll be a good challenge for Coach Hodson's team, but I'm looking forward to seeing if A-State can pick up win number 25. And if they do, they'll take on the winner of the North Texas Furman game, which is actually being played on Wednesday night. And depending on who wins and where the game will be played, it'll be sometime Saturday or Sunday. Yep. If the Red Wolves advance to the second round.
Yeah, second round is going to depend on, you know, the higher seed and arena availability for different people and stuff. So there's nothing saying this first round game is the last time we're home. It certainly could happen again, but you have to let the rest of the bracket kind of play its way out before you know for sure.
We're dealing with a lot this week, but this is really, really good stuff to be with two teams playing in the basketball postseason again. First time that's happened in 26 years.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
This is Coach Brian Hodson, and I'm asking you to help our A-State student-athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our student-athletes by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled ImpactClub.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Wolves up.
And we welcome you back to the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. Really nice start to Sun Belt play for Mike Silva's baseball Red Wolves. Marshall was in town over the weekend. A Marshall team that coming into the weekend had won 9 of their last 10, so they were playing some really good ball. A-State able to win the series. First time winning an opening series of Sun Belt Conference play since 2019. So it's been 6 years since that happened. It was interesting weather-wise this weekend. As different conditions as you could ever see at Tomlinson Stadium, which is a place where the conditions vary a lot. And obviously the wind, as it so often does, was blowing in on Friday afternoon in the series opener. We actually moved that game time up to an afternoon start time of 3 o'clock because of all the storms that were forecasted to come in on Friday night. That wind was blowing and gusting between 40 and 50 miles an hour straight in at the hitters on Friday. And we've seen some crazy things happen with balls hit in the air at the Tom over the years. But I saw a routine pop-up to second base that probably would have been a couple of steps out onto the outfield turf, land on the right field line, right on the line for a double by Jake Henry Williams in that game on Friday. And that kind of set the tone because that ball was going all over the place on Friday. Then on Saturday, couldn't have been more perfect. It was sunshine, 65, not a bit of wind. And then on Sunday, it was blowing out towards left and gusting at around 30 miles an hour. So three really different days out at the time.
Well, it's been interesting, and I know it's a pretty small sample size, but I even talked about this with Coach Silva Thursday or Friday. We were commenting on the fact that this team almost seems to hit more home runs on the days the wind's blowing in.
Yeah.
Than it does the day the wind's blowing out. And he's like, of course, as a coach, he's like, you know why? That's because they're not out there trying to do too much. Like, they're just putting good swings on it and letting it take care of itself.
They went on to win that Friday game 11-1 in seven innings. Colin Maloney ended up going 6 1/3 in that game. And it got really interesting after the Red Wolves went up double-digit runs in the bottom of the fifth, because at that point, Colin Maloney had been perfect. 15 up, 15 down. And you knew if the Red Wolves just hung on from there, they had already scored enough to where it would be a run rule ball game. If you're up 10 after 7, then that's the game. Well, at that point, you're thinking, Colin Maloney just needs 6 more outs and he'll have a perfect game.
What's interesting, you've already got the 10-run lead. So, like, all of a sudden, you don't need 12 more outs anymore. You need 6.
Colin ended up walking his only batter of the ball game to begin the sixth, and then he gave up his first hit with 2 outs in the sixth inning. But he was phenomenal. 6 1/3. Again, A-State goes on to win that one 11-1. And
so
then,
I asked him before, I know you get Saturday, but I asked Colin Maloney Saturday. I said, did you have to deal with the whole bit of, like, people wouldn't sit by in the dugout and the whole thing? And he said, actually, no. He said, because when he pitches, he goes, I stay away and by myself anyway. He said,
That's
already my thing, is I just detach myself from everybody. He goes, what stinks is, like, I put myself in a spot a lot of times, you know, the offense is scoring all these runs and I can't see it. I'm not watching it. He said, but yeah, so it wasn't anything different for him, like dealing with nobody sitting by him in the dugout or anything, because he already doesn't sit by anybody when he's pitching.
Saturday, Marshall was able to even up the series. They won in run rule fashion in 7 innings, 12-2. That was a game that was tied at 1 after 3 innings, and really it was the big inning that kind of killed us. They scored 6 in the top of the fourth. They batted around that inning and trying to play catch up after that.
And then even, you know, after that, what you thought, well, you're one big inning away. Okay, get back in it. But then, you know, they scored 3 more in an inning that they had bases empty, 2 outs.
Mm-hmm.
And still end up scoring 3 runs. And from that point on, it felt like it was probably out of reach.
Another thing that happened Saturday, and again, the weather was just perfect. The perfect night to have the dedication of Slayton Family Field and a great ceremony before the game. Joe Slayton and his entire family were there. I know you and I both had his daughter, Nicole Townsend, on both of our broadcasts. Really enjoyed that, but just dozens and dozens of family members and friends. Mayor Copenhaver was there. He did a proclamation kind of honoring that special day. But, you know, for anybody, and look, my family was out at the game on Sunday, and it's the first time they'd actually seen a game since the turf's been down, and they're like, oh, my God. I mean, this is like a totally different place.
It's pretty interesting, and it's actually Jeff Purinton who made this point. He hopped on my broadcast with me a little bit Saturday. Of course, the weather Saturday was great, so the ability to have the ceremony was unimpeded, right? But the truth is, without that turf, we probably weren't playing Saturday.
Yeah.
After the storms came in Friday night.
And it had rained all the way up until about, what, 3 or 4 o'clock on Saturday before the skies parted.
And so the weather was perfect for the ceremony, which was good and what everybody wanted to have happen. But there's a certain amount of irony to the fact that the ceremony happened, because without that turf, there probably wouldn't have been a game to have a ceremony at on Saturday.
Very fitting. The Red Wolves still had a chance to win a series on Sunday, and they were able to do that. They came out and won the rubber match by the score of 9-1. Marshall had scored once in the top of the second, but the Red Wolves scored 3 times in the bottom half of the second. Scored 6 more runs after that. The story in this one was the pitching of the true freshman, Jack Hibbard. I mentioned he's a true freshman. 2 complete games now in his first 5 career starts. And the guy just comes out, and he's not overpowering by any means. He's a guy that hits his spots. They were swinging over the top of his breaking ball all day long. He's not a big strikeout guy, but he had 9 strikeouts. in the complete game, didn't walk anybody, and he was sitting at 100 pitches through eight innings. So you're wondering, okay, is he going to come back out for the ninth? And he pitched a six-pitch ninth inning, so he ended up throwing 106 pitches on the day. He was fantastic. To have a freshman on a Sunday come out and do what he did, you just don't see that very often.
You do not. What a start this young man is off to in his A-State career. As you said, already a couple of complete games, including a complete game shutout. He's announced his presence, and so fans who hadn't got a chance to, I'd say, see this team at all yet, because I know a lot of people haven't gotten to yet, but certainly then you get a chance to show up on a Jack Hibbard start. Need to roll up in there.
Well, Cross Jumper's really playing well. He had a great day on Sunday, 3-for-5 with 4 RBIs. It was a three-hit performance for Kaysen Tollett.
That's a welcome sight.
He went 3-for-4 with an RBI. And the Red Wolves have now won 6-of-7 overall. And more importantly, off to that 2-and-1 start in conference play. Four games this week. They'll host Missouri State Tuesday at 3, so come out early on Tuesday before that NIT game at 8 o'clock and watch the baseball Red Wolves. And then this weekend, they'll be on the road for the first time in league play. They'll play at Texas State Friday at 6, Saturday at 2:30, and then Sunday at 1.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea: customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same: you first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Red Wolf fans, this is DeMario Davis, proud Red Wolf and linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. And I'm asking you to help out our current A-State student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our players by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at impactclub.com. Thank you, and Wolves up.
Back one more time here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at cavanaughcars.com. Hey, this is a big week for the football team. You mentioned all the football coaches that were out there at the women's basketball event, the selection show party on Sunday, but they're on the practice field this week. Spring practice actually beginning. Practices Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And on Wednesday, it's pro day. So a lot of the recent Red Wolves grads will be out there performing for the pro scouts.
And I've heard it's going to be one of the bigger attended pro days in recent history. I think well over, last time I heard, already, you know, well over half the teams in the league had already committed to having somebody here, plus CFL teams going to have people in the house. So it'll be a fun pro day to watch unfold. And obviously there'll be a handful of guys that have a lot of eyes on them. And I always enjoy like watching pro day and seeing that go down. And it's interesting sometimes to think that these guys spent their whole lives playing football, and then the amount of time they had to just spend working aside from that to maximize the 4 or 5 whatever seconds their 40 last, or the 7 seconds they're doing the shuttle run. It's just like, it's weird, just to be honest.
Yeah.
That it is the way it is, but it is. I've always enjoyed sliding over and watching guys go through pro day.
Track and field saw Michelle Ogbemudia compete in the women's weight throw at Virginia Beach. She was competing at the indoor nationals, and there were only 16 participants in the entire country that were invited to be at indoor nationals in that event. And Michelle ended up finishing 12th, which means she's a second team All-American. So yet another All-American for A-State track and field. And they go right into outdoor season this weekend. Outdoor season begins. A couple of different events our athletes will be participating in. They'll be at both the Alumni Bulldog Relays in Starkville and the Ole Miss Classic in Oxford. Tennis team, they were on the road for a couple of matches, including on Friday when they went into Lafayette and swept the Cajuns. That's pretty cool. Then they took on a really good Texas State team on Sunday and lost that match 4-1, but still, Coach Lama's team 9-5 overall this season. They're 2-1 in conference play, and the 9 overall victories already more than last year's overall win
total. And last year's win total was more than, you know, the couple of years before that combined. And it's pretty neat to watch what they got going on.
And you can watch what they have going on. They're going to be at home a couple of times this weekend at the A-State Tennis Complex. They'll host Coastal Carolina Saturday at 9 a.m. and then Georgia Southern Sunday morning at 10. Men's golf ended up finishing 6th out of 18 teams this past week at the Grand Canyon Invitational in Phoenix. Rough week again for them. They're going to be out west. Starting this Sunday, they'll compete in the UC San Diego Invitational, which is being played at Torrey Pines.
Yep, tough. I hope those guys have to take tests while they're out there. I hope so.
And one more note, the 6th-ranked bowling team was in action at the Music City Classic in Smyrna, Tennessee this past weekend. They finished 8th out of 31 teams, and that was their final tune-up before things really get rolling this week. This Thursday through Sunday, they'll be in New Orleans for the Conference USA Championships.
Get about that time for bowling.
Yeah, this is their prime time starting right now.
Their season's
right
about
now.
To start.
Do want to mention one other thing. I thought it was really neat. We talked about the storms earlier on Friday night. One of the hardest hit places in the city of Jonesboro. And I know there were a lot of places a lot harder hit outside the city of Jonesboro. But inside the city, hardest hit place was probably the Valley View High School baseball field.
That is so random, but so true.
I was out Saturday morning, just happened to be literally running past it, and I saw a group of people out there looking at the damage, and I'm like, oh my God, the storm just really hit this one spot. The entire fence was gone. I mean, all the way around, signage down. It was clear they weren't going to be able to play games anytime in the near future. And one of the first people out there to meet with our friend and A-State alum, former baseball player, Josh Allison, who's the head coach out there at Valley View. One of the first people to go out and meet him and offer up the field at A-State was Mike Silva. And Valley View will be playing this Wednesday their games against West Memphis over at Slayton Family Field at Tomlinson Stadium. But thought that was neat of Coach Silva to be right there as soon as it happened.
Yeah, and Valley View extended the same courtesy to our guys when they didn't have a place to practice in the off season. Practiced at Valley View. They practiced at Greene County Tech.
Yep.
So, and it wasn't done. So, hey, you could get me back if I need you later, but it just so happens, you know, now the Blazers found themselves in a position of need, and it's good that there's Slayton Family Field they can go play on.
All right. Anything else we need to talk about here?
No, I just look forward to, if you're listening again before Tuesday night, remember, general admission seating, doors open at 6:30. Also, general admission parking. Pay parking is going to be Arena Lot A, which is the first one kind of closest to the loading dock. Lot A is going to be held for staff and media. But the rest of the way around, lots B through H, the rest of the way around the arena, is going to be paid parking. Just general admission, pull up. You could even buy parking when you buy your tickets online. You can go ahead and pay for your parking. But if not, $10 cash. Same thing at baseball. That's going to be pay parking. Then, you know, I think everything else, football-wise, if you crossed over across from Embassy and up the football lots, I think that would be open parking, I believe. But the pay parking would be baseball and the arena lots, yeah, from B around to H.
Again, A-State and St. Louis, first round of the men's NIT coming up on Tuesday night, tip-off at 8 o'clock at First National Bank Arena. We hope to see you there and hope the Red Wolves men keep on playing after that. And, of course, the A-State women participating in their first ever NCAA tournament at UConn coming up Saturday at noon. Appreciate everybody listening, as always, and we hope to have you join us once again next week for our next edition of the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank and the Cavanaugh Auto Group.